Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Heavenly Father, we thank you because your name is a righteous tower. Your name is a tower, and the righteous run unto it, and they are saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful work that you are doing in this time, our time. And I thank you, Lord, because you've prepared us for this time, and now we are ready. Now, glorious Father, I thank you, because your work cannot be stopped. Your people cannot be stopped. There is nothing this world throws at us that we shall not overcome by the grace that you have given us. Now we thank you, Heavenly Father, because our hearts are neat, our wills have been submitted to yours, and our purpose has been submitted to yours, that we step out in the power that you have given us. And there is nothing that can defeat us. There is nothing that can stop us. There is even nothing that can slow us. Because now we are like an unstoppable train. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are that people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now somebody tell your neighbor that you're privileged to be alive today. Hallelujah. Actually, you're not privileged, you're chosen to be alive today. Can you imagine before the foundation of the world, you were chosen to be alive today when God is doing a powerful thing? Praise the Lord. But of course, some of you don't understand exactly what's happening and how powerful it is that we're living in this time. Glory to God. But I hope you do, as time goes on, know that you're extremely privileged to be a part of what God is doing today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So 14th was Monday. Okay, you know what happened on 14th. Eh? Okay. Now what you don't know is the exact significance of it in this time. And now that's what I was asking the Lord, because I was seeing the pictures of, one nation, the richest and greatest nation currently, opening its embassy in the city of Jerusalem. And I was wondering, what does this mean for us as a church? But the number of things there which over the time the Lord reminded me that some of them I had already spoken about. But you see, the fact that the people who, now let me tell you this, I was listening to a prophecy by a man called Kim Clement. You've heard of Kim Clement? He's with the Lord right now. But he was talking about, and it was an incredible prophecy, about how God is going to use Trump and how he'll be a trumpet for the final thing. And it was one of those incredible prophecies, because if anybody who knows the life of that man knows that he's not a moral exemplar. In the prophecy, he was actually calling him my righteous servant. Now, you see, that's where people get confused, because somebody is righteous because God says he's righteous, not because of any other standard. Amen? So God is the standard of righteousness. And whoever he declares righteous is righteous. Amen? Yeah, now there is nothing anybody else can do if God says you're righteous. Even if some prostitute comes and says you slept with that, sometimes God says, my righteous servant. Because if the examiner says you've passed. There is no other standard. If the person who set the exam says you have passed, then that's it. Now, but you see, it was necessary for him, because if you knew what was happening at about the time that he came up, and I followed all those things through the Bilderbergs and their meetings, and how they sat in there and decided that they would do everything they can to stop him from being elected. And trust me, they did everything they could. But he was elected. And they turned the the church against you because you're this, you're that, you have these weaknesses and so on. And people get drawn into it. But it was necessary for him, because I found it incredible. For instance, okay, that on the day that he swore in, January 20th, 2017, that guy was exactly 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. Now, how coincidental is that? Exactly 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. Now, so you know these sevens and what they mean. So the 70th anniversary of Jerusalem, of the creation of the state of Israel, which was created at midnight. It's midnight, May 14th. In actual sense, it was actually May 15th, but the British mandate ended at midnight, May 14th. And at that very midnight, they announced midnight Jerusalem time. Amen? Now, I want you to know that when Jesus says at midnight, I'll come at the midnight hour. Of course, midnight is different in different places. But the center of the earth is where? So everything starts from there. Now, but anyway, so I was asking, what is the significance of this for the church? But there's something else I saw at that time when it was being, when the whole embassy was being opened. The first thing I saw is, okay, first of all, before I get into that, this guy, I have seen the way he's, how many, okay, 1.5 years as president, there is, okay, he credits himself and says, you know, he deserves some credit. But the truth is, there are certain things which are beyond him and which you can just see the hand of God. Where he has crushed his opponent. Every time they predict something is going to happen, the opposite happens. Now, you see the thing of North Korea. He started abusing the man, writing things, calling him names, and they said he's going to stoke up a war. The next thing we know, the man is willing to talk peace. Like, it's almost as if God lets all those experts say what they have to say, then God does the opposite. Now, there are other things which even are not of interest to us. For instance, he went and made very serious tax reforms in America and reduced taxes tremendously for corporate companies and individuals and so on. And everybody said the government is not going to have enough money. Guess what? It took 3 months for them to break all records for tax collection after he has reduced taxes. And after all the commentators, I was watching all of them saying he's making a big mistake. The federal government is going to have no money and what? The next thing, they themselves come and say that he has broken over a 50-year record. So now, okay, he will of course credit himself and he deserves some credit. But the truth is, there are certain things which you can just see the hand of God. And the fact that when he took over, there was a darkness that had crept over the whole world. Like, and they were ready to come and completely take over. And now God needed somebody to be a rallying cry for those people who don't want to go down that path. And so many of them had been silenced and they could not do anything because they just needed one person at the top to be their rallying cry. Now, the other Saturday, they were... Did I tell you of former homosexuals who marched on Washington? People who were once, about 5,000 people, who were once homosexuals, heterosexuals, and what, not heterosexuals, transgender, whatever, those crap. Now, they organized themselves and did a march in Washington. Of course, you will not see that on the news media. Their leader said that Jesus gave me a new identity. He was once... Now they are speaking like this. Now this could not happen, of course, you know. The guy said, somebody told me I'm a homosexual. I took on that identity. Then I realized it was a lie. So Jesus gave me a new identity. Now the man is married and has children. And their message was that nobody has to accept this as their identity. Anybody can be transformed from that into a normal life. Praise the Lord. Now, that made... When I read that, it actually... You know, it showed how energized people are. Now, it's not going to just happen in America because it's a start of a revival. It's going to happen across the world. Now, here even in Uganda, there was a church which was getting people who had been, you know, who were homos. Eh? Some of them had just been messed up when they were young and what. And they were collecting them and praying for them and giving them counseling. And so many of them turned and became normal people and rediscovered their love for women. You know the first thing that goes, eh? Like the things you meet, eh? You like you meet a guy who says that there's some lady, her man, who she was married to. You know those things of what? So they were courting and what and all. So the man was born again, very pure. Eh? I'm waiting for the wedding night. And the woman wasn't that pure. She was trying to, you know, to make things happen in advance. But the guy said, no, I'm up to wedding night. On the wedding night, the guy vanished. He came back after 3 months and said he's a homo. He has no, like, he said, I have no attraction to you whatsoever. Like, even if you undressed, I would feel nothing. So, now those things are happening in this city, by the way. And now that church was collecting people, counseling them, and many of them were converting and becoming normal people and rediscovering, you know, the natural affection. Okay? The Bible talks about unnatural attractions and natural attractions. Okay? Now they were discovering their natural attraction. And guess what? The pastor, the what? They came for them, the American embassy. Of course, not under this guy, under the former guy. They came for them and told them they are going to deny them visas to go abroad and what. And they actually had to stop the program. Now, in the state of California, there is a law which is being passed, which they are trying to pass, which will make it illegal to convert a homosexual and bring them back to natural. Now, you see, there is a real battle between darkness and light. You understand? Eh? And it is real. And the people of light needed a rallying cry, like that guy, who they said is righteous. Okay? Now, if you think something else, those are yours. The prophetic word said the guy is righteous. And by the way, let me tell you, righteous means somebody who is standing for God's cause. It doesn't mean somebody who did not sleep with a prostitute 10 years ago. No. It means somebody who is standing for God's cause. Now, when Abraham goes and lies and calls his wife his sister, God goes for the man whom he lied to and says, you're a dead man. But I'm not the one who lied. It's the other guy who lied. But God says, the other one is righteous. For you, you are the sinner. But I'm not the one who lied. Yes, but you're the sinner. The one who lied is righteous. And guess what? For the man to be forgiven, he had to get so many cows and what and silver and gold and take to the guy who lied him and said, now forgive me for being the victim of your lies. Now, when God declares somebody righteous, he's righteous. Praise the Lord. Because he's the examiner. He's the standard. Okay? So, now, somebody who is doing the cause of God and stands up to the cause of God, like... Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so now it comes to May 14th, which is an incredible thing. Eh? Because after that, I think a few other countries are also following suit. Now the whole liberal world and all their lies, which they had been telling, is slowly by slowly crumbling. And you know, I like to look at the opinions. I like to look at the opinions of what? Of people in regard to certain things. Now you can sense there is a shift of people's mindset from what they once were, the things they once valued, you know, and things like that. And people are standing up one by one. Somebody who owns a cinema says, I'm not bringing Disney film here, which promotes homosexuality. Now there's a clear demarcation, which actually the Bible says in the book of Daniel, that those who are righteous will continue to be righteous, and those who are wicked will become even more wicked. And it says none of the wicked will know. I think it's Daniel 11:33. None of the wicked will know, but the righteous will understand what's happening. That there is a clear demarcation. And now the truth is, the devil is on flight. He has been put to flight. And that is the truth. Now the apparent victory he had before, like in all countries you can see, people are scared. Even in our neighboring country here, you're going to see. Anybody who stands up as it is right now after what happened on Monday. Now I'm telling you what the Lord told me. Now anybody who stands up, regardless, be it China, where they will be run over as if by a fuso. Because there is no, so somebody goes and does his witchcraft and thinks he's going to stop churches. Like, it is not going to happen. And I told some of you to pray for our neighbors. I don't know if you did. You're too busy praying for yourself. But on the day of judgment, you'll be shocked when you just put in 30 minutes of prayer for that country and you see what reward it gives you. Amen? Because now certain things where you see people becoming evil and evil and evil, and even religious people becoming increasingly evil and increasingly opposed to the word, to the standard of God. Now, what that is going to create, the demarcation that talks about, first of all, it's good for us. The shaking was good because it separates between religious Christianity and real Christianity. But also, what I saw at the opening was there has never been a time where the relationship between Jews and Christians is at its best. And the Bible says in Romans 11, when that happens, it will be like rising from the dead. Because it says, you were not the natural branches of the tree. The natural branch was cut off, and you were grafted in to bring them to jealousy, the scripture says. But he says, do not boast, because it is their thing. Now he says, when they come back in, it will cause a revival unlike any other. Now you see all these things, North Korea and what, China and all, it's revival. That it's just opening the way for revival. Because those are places where there was no freedom of worship. Now, on the one hand, people are saying, but it actually is the gospel being preached, which is the one sign that so many people don't think about when we talk about the end time. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all over the world before the end comes. Now, those countries are opening up slowly, slowly, slowly. And now the Jews finally trust Christians. Now, you see, you don't know why they don't. But if you knew the history of how Jews were persecuted by Christians, you would know why they have never even been interested in Jesus Christ. Because, and you see now, for instance, the Catholic Church I'll give you a brief history here. Okay, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. In other words, listen to this. He's saying the trees of the Jews, they are the root, we are the branches. And he says, we do not support them, they support us. Remember, salvation is of the Jews. Okay? Who said that? Jesus. Salvation belongs to the Jews. Eh? Okay, go ahead. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Huh? Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail. Severity? On those who fail, severity. But towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you'll also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, which is the Jews, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Okay? So now, there has never been a time when there is trust. I will tell you, the people who persecuted the Jews starting from the Crusades when the crusades, when the Pope called for crusades to go and liberate Jerusalem from the Muslims who had taken it over, or really people gathered themselves and went for crusades anyway, around 11 something AD, the people who went, the soldiers who went, because the Jews were the bankers and the insurance people and they had the money, they went and borrowed money from them. Now, when they took the money, they could not repay the money to those people. So what did they do? They started a persecution against them and said they are evil, they are what? So because somebody can't pay your money, so he decides to demonize you. Now, that's what happened. Now, that started an era of almost 1,000 years of people persecuting Jews. Even in the 1400s, 1500s, when there was a plague. You remember the plague? The bubonic plague, which killed almost about, it actually killed about a quarter of mankind. It killed millions and millions, or tens of millions of people at a time when there were not that many people. And you know whom they blamed it on? The Jews. But the truth is, it was the Jews, because they blamed it on the Jews because they did not get it. Very few Jews were getting the plague. And you know why? It was caused by fleas. And the Jews were clean. Now, at that time in Europe, people would put on one trouser and that's it. He sleeps in it, he wakes up in it, sleeps in it, wakes up in it. And they even sew it on him. If it gets torn, he goes to what? To a seamstress. And they sew the trouser when it is on him. And then they go and work in the... So, but the Jews were a bit cleaner. So they did not get... So they said, how come these guys are not getting sick? And they were being knocked down by the tens of millions. So they said, there must be the cause. And there was always that distrust of Jews. Now, actually, there was such a persecution way up to the Spanish Inquisition, much later in the 1700s. There was such a persecution for them that they ran away from Spain at that time when they told them either convert to Catholicism or be killed, or find another place to live. They went to the Muslim Ottoman Empire, and they were welcomed. So, Christians were chasing them away, the Muslims were not. Now, even when Martin Luther got his Protestant revelation, he first went and said, maybe the Jews are not believing in Jesus because the Catholics did not treat them well. So he went and tried to treat them well. But you know, it did not work immediately. He thought it would work immediately, but it doesn't. You understand? If you've spent 10 years hurting your wife, you don't just go and tell her one, two words and then she says, okay, let me come back. No, it doesn't happen. These people had been messed up for so long that they didn't want anything to do with Christianity. They didn't see a difference between the Catholics and Martin Luther. You're all the same. You have, I mean, the theology of how they killed Jesus and what had risen from way back. Now, when Martin Luther went and they did not receive him as he thought they would, he became the worst enemy of Jews, perhaps that ever lived. He issued a statement saying they are the scum of the earth. They are the worst people that ever lived. They are the killers of Jesus. They are what every... Like, in other words, everything that you can put on the devil, put on the Jews. Now, immediately they distrusted Christianity completely. Actually, let me tell you, they say, if you read their history, they just started receiving acceptance. Imagine you're these people, you've grown up, like, in this country. In Europe, you don't know any other place. This is your home. But you are never accepted. Your father was never accepted. Your children will never be accepted. You have this thing hanging over you that you do not belong here. But where else do you belong? This is all you know. You actually know it 10 generations before. But somehow they have that thing hanging. So they said it's only when Christianity was subdued by secularism, what they call the Age of Enlightenment, the Karl Marx and also so on, who came and removed religion. That's when they started getting a sense of freedom, a sense of, some respite. It's only when Christianity started being subdued in the 1800s that they actually felt that now their enemies are crumbling. And their enemy was Christianity. So throughout, now even Hitler, he went and told churches that these are the people who killed Jesus, so they don't deserve to live. He was using Bible theology to bring them. So they have never trusted Christianity, never. So people think, why don't Jews believe in Jesus? Okay, few of them do, and most of them actually do because they have seen him in visions and dreams. But for the most part, they don't want to know. Amen? Yeah. Now, And actually, I was reading that book of the other guy who was in heaven and met that guy, the reformer. Eh? And man, you say something here, but it affects you there. Of course, he's in heaven. But everything you start here, like that hatred of Jews is started here. Man, it affects you and your reward. So the guy did a big job, but he's in Chirasha. Those ends. Where you see the throne from a distance. And the sad thing, you can't... So if I want to talk to him, I would have to come down to where he is. But I'm joking. But he can't go up to where I would be anyhow. Now, it's only in the... Recently, actually started in the 1990s, when people started creating organizations of Christians for Israel and so on, and bringing Jews back and resettling them. And even then, the Jews were treating them with a lot of suspicion. Remember the guy I told you about called Mawire, who went to the other guy, the Zimbabwean guy, who went to, who the Lord sent to Netanyahu with a word for him. And he told him that says the God of your fathers. Then the guy told him, the problem with you Christians, that you only love dead Jews. You don't love us who are still alive. So you come here and see the tomb of Abraham and what, where they killed Jesus who was a Jew and so on. But what about us who are their descendants? So you see, that's how they felt. They have never felt the love from Christians until right now. Amen? Now, when the scriptures, I have to read that so that we understand. And you see, it had to take so many years of, it has to take so many years for people to see your love when they distrust you. Otherwise, even when you show them love, they are not interested because they don't trust you. So they look at you and you're doing your things. They say, we are not it. So now it has taken actually quite a while for them to get to a point where now they understand fully that Christians love Jews. Amen? Do you love Jews? Yes. Because salvation is theirs and we have it. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Start from verse 11. 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fault, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So he's saying, if the Jews rejected Christ and we are saved because of that, imagine how much more it will be if they and us believe in the Messiah. Praise the Lord. He says it will be like life from the dead. Now that's exactly what it will be to the church. Now for the first time, you see, because I used to wonder, why don't these people see that, like, they will take you to all the places you want to see. This is where so-and-so was born, this is where so-and-so. But they're not interested in your Christianity at all. And actually, many of them are even demonic. Eh? They took on those Baal religions and Kabbalah and so on. And they have a very demonic kind of spirituality. But they will take you and say, okay, this is where... They even call him Joshua. They don't call him Jesus. This is where Joshua was killed. This is where what? And they take your tourism money, but they're not interested in your religion. And you see, you wonder why, until you look at their history and how they spent almost 600 years not being accepted in a place where they were born and where their grandchildren were born. And why? Because of Christianity. Actually, Islam was, until recently, Islam was more habitable towards Jews than Christianity. So they didn't trust us. They don't want to know. I was talking to some footballer but the other day. He was telling me, no, not the other day, some time ago. Eh? Some Ugandan footballer. Who was playing in Scotland. Now, he was telling me how, like, those people behave. Like the fans of his club. If you are having a bad game, they will abuse you. And they will abuse your mother and your grandmother. They will tell you how your mother washes elephants for a living and so on, and say, you stupid African, you've come here to earn money, because of course you're earning money they don't earn. And they are offended by the fact that an African is earning money. So they have... Now the guy told me you'd be having, okay, a fair game, but they're abusing you. Then one of their guys from that city is having a terrible game. He has even made you get beaten. But they are cheering him, yeah. Like, so He says you go for a throw in. And the guy, you know how their pitches are. Eh? The guy is just behind you there. And he's hurling insults at you. Eh? And there is nothing you can do. Because you're a professional, he has the right to abuse you. And now there is nothing. So every time you go, he says you even want to run to the middle of the pitch. Eh? Just to not to hear what they are saying. So I asked him that. So he told me one day, there was some Ghanaian guy who was playing in the same club. And the guy got injured. And he was in tears because it was, I think, about a month to the end of the season. And the World Cup was coming. And Ghana was going to the World Cup. So, and he got the injury. And you know those things. So you get the injury and you know this is the World Cup gone. I'm not going. I cannot have, come out of it before. So the guy is in tears. Now they take him from a stretcher the other side. And they pass where the fans are. And they are abusing him. His own fans. Not the fans of the opposition team. No. His own. They say, now you're going to go there and spend 3 months without playing, just eating money. Of course, because they pay you even if. So they abused the guy. Imagine the guy is crying because he has missed a chance to go to the World Cup. He's miserable. But your own fans are abusing you. So I told him that. But if you have a good game, don't they praise you? He said, I don't trust them. I don't want to hear anything they have to say. Like, even when they praise me, I locked them out. He says, I just decided I play for the manager. If the manager said you play well, I say thank you very much. The fans, I don't care. Why? Because I don't trust them. You understand? So even when sometimes they praise you, you say, ah, shut up. Me, I don't want to do it. Me, I'm just here to please the manager. You understand? Eh? So I told you that story to show you why the Jews, like, you come and say, hey, Jews, what? They look at you and say, we don't want to know. Do you know what you people have done to us until recently? Now, these American pastors, they are giving their benediction and there's all that. And now finally, actually, now I saw that they finally are beginning to receive, to be in a position where they can receive love from Christians. Because it has been relentless for almost 15 years. So now they are saying, okay, maybe we can trust these people. Amen? Now, the people who have shown them that love and who will get them converted will have a big reward from God. Because that is going to be the precursor for revival. When the church and the Jews are eating out of the same plate. Praise the Lord. Now that is what is going to start happening now. You are going to see I don't talk about revival because, you know, it has been misused. But, you know, like the preaching of the gospel across the nations of the world was precipitated by what happened on Monday. And it's going to become very, very evident that those who have chosen the way of evil, it will become evident. And there will be so many. And those who have chosen the way of God, you will see it. And there will be many. Okay? Now, even in nations, those who choose the way of God, it will become extremely evident. Remember what I told you here the other time? When God is about to bless a nation, he gives them an opportunity to bless Israel. If they do, they get blessed. Amen? Yeah. So, now this is what is beginning right now. And it's in the next. And you know the other things which I won't get into of, you know, the Jewish holidays and what, and how everything falls on a certain day, and the 70 years and what, those are things I cannot get into because they will sound very academic. But the key thing is this, eh? Prepare for the end time army as you've never seen it, eh? Because now the doors have been flung open for a serious end time army. Now, be they nations, be they people have chosen. People have chosen evil. And there are places where it is clear people have chosen. Now, let me show you certain things. Eh? I want just to show you that symbolism is very important in the spirit world. So many things in the spirit world are governed by symbolism. Now, so many of you watched that movie, Black Panther, did you? Okay, even if you didn't, it's okay. Perhaps it's even better. But you see that thing which they do, the salute, eh? Of crossing the hands like this, eh? And they say Wakanda forever. Eh? Now, you see people enter these things when they don't know what the origin of them is and how it can affect them and how it can mess them up. You show us some pictures, Lydia. Here. You see how everybody is doing Wakanda. Now, this is Jesse Lingard. No wonder his form has been fake. Eh? You see, now, do you see why Pogba has not been scoring? I'm joking, eh? But can you see, eh? Is it visible? Okay. Now, perhaps the next ones will not. Take off this light if you can. Eh? Just this one. This is some tennis player called what? Anyhow. Now, everybody now these days is doing the Okanda salute. Eh? But you know, it has it has a very significant spiritual meaning, which of course is demonic. And the people who do it not knowing are not necessarily going to be counted innocent, because you can easily attract spirits that you do not know of by just doing some of this symbolism. Because we all know the symbols of, you know the Freemasonry symbol, don't you? You know their symbols. You see a, what is that called? The one which is in a geometry set, what is it called? Protractor, eh? And then a circle at the bottom, then you know that that is what? That is a symbol of Freemasonry. Or even these things, you've seen footballers doing this thing, eh? You've seen it, eh? And they even do like this, or sometimes even do like this. It's all that's all symbolism of demonic symbolism. And the people who do it know what they are doing. But the people who copy them sometimes don't know. And you can attract, okay, I'm going to show you scriptures to show that sometimes you can attract things you don't know just by symbols. Okay, go ahead, let's look at some. Now, do you see this? You see this, eh? You see this is a cross, eh? Huh? And these on this side are sheep. And now this is supposed to be Jesus, eh? On the cross. But he's doing a Wakanda forever. Jesus is doing a Wakanda. You understand, eh? Now, do you want to know who wears this cross? Go ahead and see. This is it. It's right here. It's expanded to this. So, and you know, this guy does things knowing what he's doing. Like, he's fake, but you know, he knows what he's doing. Now, this cross is the one which is on the Pope right there. Okay? Now, go ahead, let's see. Okay, this you know, eh? Go ahead. Now, look at this cross which the Pope now uses. It has a serpent on it. You see that blue thing, eh? It's the head of a serpent. And now the guy removed the crucifix. Okay, even the crucifix is fake because Jesus is not on the cross any longer. Eh? But at least it is symbolic of something which means something to Christianity. But now the guy removed it and put a what? A serpent. You go and look at those pictures. Now, man, like this guy, eh? By the way, okay, the other day, my mother was telling me, why do you start wars with Catholics? Eh? Because, but man, we have to warn them out of hell. Eh? That's the truth. Because look at this guy now. Eh? Okay, let's go ahead. Okay, this one you know. Now, okay, these are some of the, you know that symbol. It's a symbol of what? Of Freemasonry. And actually also shared by Illuminati. And usually they put it on the eye. They do the triangle and put it on the eye, which is also, it's also on the $1 bill, showing the apparently all-seeing eye. Now, you have to understand that there is an obsession among that demonic world with going back to Egypt and all the symbolism that was in Egypt, in ancient Egypt, starting with unburying mummies and so on. And there is a reason they are getting some, you know, spiritual secrets. And that is at the heart of Freemasonry. Freemasonry, actually, the pyramid is like their biggest symbol, because actually, the times that they built those pyramids, it required extreme advanced engineering for them to build something that goes up like this, okay? Which the knowledge was not there at the time, but was gotten from spiritual sources. Now, the Freemasons, you know what Masons are, eh? Builders. Now, the Freemasons hold that Egyptian knowledge in high esteem. Okay, you know these guys, eh? Do you know them? Let's go ahead. Now, look at this cross. Now, what is that? Like, there's a skeleton on the cross. But what is it? You look at him. And now, the original cross with the crucifix, he no longer holds it. He does not hold it. Okay. If I told you the explanation for this, it is too. Let's leave it and go to something. But look at that. Now you see where they. I'm showing you where they got the Wakanda thing. This is an X-ray, which they got through a lot of technology, of the corpse of Ramesses the First, who probably was the father or the grandfather of the Egyptian pharaoh before whom Moses stood. Okay, But he originated the dynasty, the Egyptian ruling dynasty, Ramesses the First. And they unburied his mummified corpse. Even the way they preserved those corpses for all those years is technology which they got from the demonic world. So they unburied his mummified corpse. It came from there, went to Atlanta in Georgia. Then I think when they took it back to Egypt. And he was like that. That was his thing. Now I'm going to show you other pictures which are clear. You see this. Now this is his mummified body of mummy of Ramesses the First, 1292 BC. Now, you know there's a way the wind shook the thing, and I thought the guy is getting alive. So now you know where the Wakanda thing came from, eh? It's a very demonic thing. And, okay, go ahead. You see this, eh? This is now an actual people. You see how his hands are, eh? You know this is a pharaoh, eh? Of Egypt. Now, if you go through Hollywood, they're actually doing a lot of movies about Egypt. There was a movie called The Gods of Egypt. Did you see it? They are now, because it is, of course, they are controlled by Freemasons and what, they are getting that spirituality. And now it's being brought alive. It is coming alive. And now the showdown that happened all those years ago between Moses, the servant of God, and Pharaoh is going to happen again today. Because the spirit of Pharaoh has been brought alive today. And the spirit of Moses, that is on Moses, is also what? Alive today. So that showdown is about to happen. And it's going to be a spiritual thing. And remember what happened that time? The first thing, the snake, Pharaoh's people can do it, magicians. The second, the third, by the fourth, they said, no, we can't handle. This is the hand of God. Now, we have to develop in our spirituality where the magicians can only stop here and for us we continue. And they say, no, that is the hand of God. Amen? But you see, as long as the church was kept in religion, eh? By the way, now, you see all these things of people fighting Jews and what? That is religion. Man, there is nothing worse than religion. It hardens people's hearts even against other people. Now, as long as you're kept there in religion, now it hardens people's hearts against the things that really matter. Religion will make people hate wealth. And somebody will not understand why he's offended when somebody is wealthy. And you see those cultures, you see the cultures which like almost attach some kind of controversy to money, they remain poor. You understand? And now you see, for instance, Americans, for some reason, they glorify wealth. And actually, in Africa, like Nigerians. Have you ever seen the way Nigerians glorify wealth? That's why they have money. But you see, if you start treating somebody who is rich as suspicious, now that's the spirit of religion, eh? Now you'll stay poor. And now, man, the devil loves that. Okay? So religion kills everything that is good. It kills life. It kills what you tell somebody. Man, somebody told me that, you know that thing of, this lady is a pastor's wife. She has been sick almost all her life, of one sickness after the other. Then she goes to a certain pastor in Nigeria, who is a known man of God. And she comes back completely healed. Now, her church members who were contributing money to go for one operation after the other, India, what and what, they are angry. How do you get healed? They said that is sorcery. But can you imagine? Eh? Like the woman is healed. They would rather collect millions and tens of millions to send you to India rather than believe that somebody can get healed. But you see, anyhow, let's go ahead. So the question here is that, is there any evidence that in the spirit realm, just doing a symbol, a sign of a different kingdom can actually invite spirits from that kingdom? Don't say yes unless you have the evidence. Because you see, people go, like wall hangings. I was seeing the other day, they are what? They are, I don't have a watch, what's the time? 8:25, eh? Okay, Nchaba Vuga. Okay. I'm sure. The other day I was watching when art paintings being sold for $145 million. And you think they are just buying the painting? No. It is a connection to a spirituality. The people, and they were actually saying, I was watching it on news, and they are saying, the person who painted this was so many years ahead of their time. Okay? And somebody pays $145 million for a wall painting, which even, I'm sure, an average university student doing fine art can paint. You go and check it out. Nothing spectacular. But somebody pays $145. All these Mona Lisa and what? Eh? It's not just the painting. It is the spirituality. Now, somebody who has connected to that kingdom gets that thing and puts it in his house. And then he connects to, you know, to that spirit. Eh? In other words, the guy who painted it is apostolic, so to speak. Eh? And you see, people who don't understand spirituality, then don't know that. I remember when the grave, let's say, of Catherine Kuhlman, people would go there and say they left when they were healed. A grave. And they blocked it out. You can't go there unless the relatives permit you to go there. But they blocked it. But people were going there to get healed. Then somebody says, no, that is, you know, worship. You know what religion does. Eh? But Elisha's bones made somebody who was dead alive. Isn't that in the Bible? Is it demonic? Was Elijah demonic? But you see, when somebody has moved with God so much, okay, even in that case with the devil, eh? Like anything that they had, you can, the people tap into it. That's why a person pays $145 million for a very simple piece of art. $145 million. I was in shock. And the bidding started at $120. Can you imagine there's a painting there, which is very simple. I want you to go and check it out on Google, eh? And you see if there's anything spectacular about it. And the bidding starts at $125 million. I was in shock. But why? Connection to that, you know, to that thing. So when you don't understand spirituality, you not know that things just touching, because the spirit dominates now, you just touch something which somebody touched, who was, let's say, walking with God at a certain level, eh? And it transforms your life. Just that. Okay? Just that. Somebody came and sat on a seat. Now, remember when Oedipo came here, when he left, people were even collecting the soil where he had stepped. Now, you get a religious person, he says, no, that's not right. You wait and see. That guy is going to collect that soil and get a miracle. How is that different from the handkerchiefs which came off Paul and went on? Demons were going out. Is there anything special about handkerchiefs? Eh? Nothing. What was special? Paul and the anointing. So you put a handkerchief on him, take it to a sick person, the person is healed. Someone who has demons, the demons go. So, but you see, when you don't understand the laws of spirituality, people, now that's what religion has done. Now, but anyway, let me go to this symbolism. Now, a lot of this symbolism of those things, people can easily attract things which they don't want by art pieces. So you go to a certain place, unless of course, like, you know, but you go to a certain place, you get an art piece or a ring, okay? So you have to be careful about some of these things for some of you. Like, it's just a ring. Somebody says, you know, so you buy a ring and something, then when you put it on, something wrong happens. And now you keep on in, you know, a cycle of what? Because there's some spirit which has a point of contact. Now, it can also be just mere symbols. I'll give you an example from the Bible, okay? You are waiting for that, eh? Maybe not, but I'll give it to you anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, there's a bit of what was the culture here at the time, but let's start from, let's say, verse 5. Eh? It says, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn, or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God. But a woman is the glory of the man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now what he's saying is, those days a married woman had a symbol of covering her head. That was the sign that you are married. The same way, like now you'd perhaps have a ring. Okay? Now, there is no law about head covering. The law is about a symbol showing you're married. Have you seen those Indians who have that red thing here? That shows people that this is a married woman. Now, different cultures have different things to identify somebody, that this is somebody's wife. Okay? For all sorts of reasons. Because some of you players should know that now, don't touch. Eh? But you see, it also says for angels, not for players. Eh? For angels, you understand? Now, what do angels have to do with covering a head? Because in the spirit realm, when somebody is under the authority, when somebody was under the authority of her husband, and she put on that covering, that was a symbol that she's under authority. And there are angels which protect that line of authority. Because it starts by saying, from verse 1, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all. Verse 3, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and head of every... Okay, I think we, what I want you to read is... Okay, what I wanted us to read here was, he talks about how the head of a man is Christ and the head of Christ is God, okay? And there he's talking about how all authority springs from God, gives it to Jesus Christ, and now in the case of a family, but the head of every man is Christ and the head of a woman is a man. Now here, this is husband, eh? You understand, eh? Not every man, husband. So now let me put it properly. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of every wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Okay? Now, he's talking about a chain of authority. Now, the angels of God are assigned to look after the authority structure. Do you understand? If you get out of the authority structure, you're out of the protection of the angels. Now, that even applies to spiritual authority outside of... Here he's talking about marriage. But I have seen... I've told you, the years that I've been in ministry. I've seen people who cannot submit under one pastor. And they are always on their own. They are hammered. None of them prospers. Because God sets his authority and the angels will protect that chain of authority. As long as you stay there, you're protected. Now, the minute you step out, that's why he says, put on your head covering for the sake of angels, the angels who are assigned to protect you as a wife. Now, if you take off that thing, then you're on your own. Now, I'm not teaching religion here. I'm saying, just like we can have things in our culture which identify married women. Now, outside of the authority structure, you're out. Now, do you see that the covering of the head is just a symbol? But it's a symbol which attracts something from the spirit. In this case, angels to come and protect you. Amen? Yeah. That is a woman under authority. So the angels are there protecting you. Or that is a man of God under authority. The angels are there protecting you. Now you break away from the authority which God gave you. And you think, now I'm on my own. Then you will see what will happen to you. Because then, now the angels, they go away. Because they are not there to support rebellion. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I also tell you this. I've also seen women who walk away from their marriages without cause. Now there are so many people who stay there when they have cause to go. But those who just kwewagula and go. I have witnesses of what happens. I have seen things happen which are not good. Praise the Lord. Because the angels were, somehow when you were there, spiritual things, you are under somebody's protection and success seems natural. Everything seems to be moving okay. You're doing this is working, then you think, then you step away. Then now you invite because you've gotten rid of the angelic. Jude, verse 23. But others save. Okay, start from where the sentence starts. Maybe verse 22. And on some having compassion, making a distinction. Okay, start from verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, putting them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now, those things of hating the garment defiled by flesh, garment would represent everything that, not just garment. But those things where you go, I went to China, I went to Malaysia, you know those places where there's a lot of demonic worship, eh? And you get some beautiful ornament and then put it around your neck. And then you wonder why, since you got it, nothing is working in your life. Eh? It says, hating even the garment defiled. Because all these symbolisms are very powerful. They create something. Now you see, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel are fighting. And Moses sits down, and when he puts his hands like this, they win. That is a symbol of the cross. Okay? Now when his hands get tired, they go down, they start losing. Until people have to hold them up. And they hold them up to evening. Because of course Moses is a symbol of a deliverer. Okay? And he has to have his hands in the shape of a cross, which is the biggest Christian symbol. Now, when the hands go down, or if Moses had decided to do Wakanda, like the Pope, they would have hammered them. Eh? So, all these things, like throughout, the Bible is full of symbolism, everything which was done in the Old Testament, which has a meaning in the New. It's all the symbolism. Now, you can attract fake things by doing some of those symbols, or by wearing things which have them, or things like that, or also because you saw, Ronaldinho doing like this, you also do it, or you know, stuff like that. You don't do those things. Like, you have to walk in knowledge, because it is as simple. I was talking to somebody who has been in the demonic spirit world and got born again. He said he went there for them to teach him how to go into the spirit world. It's just a symbol to go into the demonic spirit world. Just draw a symbol on the ground. There's a certain symbol they told him to draw, and they told him to sit in a certain way and put his hands in a certain way. And the next thing he knows, he has gone and he's talking to demons. Just a symbol. Do you understand? Eh? A symbol. Now, you remember those days. Now, symbols have power. You remember those days when they would tell people that, okay, if you've watched what? Vampire movies, where a cross. I don't know if that is true. But you know, some of those things have whatever. But I remember even in school, they would say, Mukalabanda, that have a cross. Now, there might be some, a cross is just two sticks. But you know, it's not just two sticks together. It is a very powerful Christian symbol, which signifies everything that matters to us. So you are there, somebody just does, and now the person does not even, have any power, but just the attachment to a Christian symbol, which has power, a symbol. And you might not chase, but at least you will what? Scare them. Scare them off. And those things used to happen. True? Some people got saved because of just having what? Okay, not in vampire movies, those are movies. But those movies, by the way, are based on a lot of truth. So they are not just movies. So it says here, so sometimes, if you don't understand this, and you get a point of contact from a demonic world, it can mess you up. Amen? There are reasons why God would even tell somebody, don't buy that car. We've had instances like that. Because there are people, there was some guy who I used to work with told me that a man, you know, this serious guy is a CEO, bought a car and said, I cannot drive it until I take it to a witch doctor. He cannot even enter it, lest he dies. Now, for you get a second-hand car, because almost all of you drive second-hand. So, nobody has said not my portion. Some of you are saying, at least give me that. So, imagine the guy from the beginning, the guy sacrificed. Now, of course, some people, depending on your spiritual level, it is okay, you will cleanse it. It's just a piece of metal. But for other people, it might be, don't buy it. Buy the other car. Okay? And actually, you'll buy somebody's car who is like, you know, if you like, you, let's say you go and buy somebody's car who has been walking with God. And now you suddenly you prosper because you're sitting in that seat, you're driving that car, and what? And something is coming on you because the spirit world, you know, is governed by it. So, all those things, symbolism, those symbols you see of, you know, this and that and the other, and you see them on TV, in movies, and so on, they're not innocent. And okay, I know they're not innocent, but the point is, they don't just put them there for no reason. They put them there because they have their power to attract people. So every time you do that goat head thing, or you do this thing which you've seen people doing and what, you're actually calling on a spirit. The spirit that is behind it, or even the Wakanda thing, you're calling on a mummified thing. And I was reading the guy who made Black Panther. And they actually said it was inspired by Egyptian this. So it's not even, this is not like uncovered information. No, this is open information. He said it himself. So now you're getting a spirit of a Chimami. And now Moses, the other side, is having his hands held up like this, as if on the cross. And Israel is winning. Praise the Lord. So now you have to know some of these things. And show us the other thing again. The other ugly thing. The body. This one. So every time you are tempted to do those things, you know. Anyhow. So, glory to God. Praise the Lord. But you have to hate even the things that... But as I end, let me tell you this. Prepare for a powerful move of God. Like what happened on Monday is not just an embassy. It is not. Like I wish you would know it. Just prepare for a powerful move of God. Powerful. Where certain things which were difficult and people used to talk about from a distance. Like powerful healings, lame walking and what, you know? Some people talk of signs and wonders, and all we get are signs and blunders. Now, prepare for a time when these things become easy. Now, of course, do not despise the small ones, because that's just the beginning. But you will see, it changes. An atmosphere has changed, and the children of God are on a march, and those children are you. And now certain things, dreams which you thought were at a distance, were far. And things which you were wishing for, but somehow you don't think you can get there because they're of a world nature. Let me tell you, like you'll see how easy they are going to become right now, because this is the end time. Amen. There is no way, even if God wanted to delay, he cannot. Do you understand? Of course, he does not want to delay, but even if he did, he can no longer do it, because now this end time army has got to go and evangelize the world. There is no time left. Amen? And that army, by the way, is like you. Amen? I've told you that army, it has been prophesied by so many people, is going to start from Uganda. So now if you're thinking, now when the Lord told me that we start singing, we speak to nations, that was the Lord. I did not get that song by myself. We speak to what? Not to villages. Not to cities, not to LC1s and Gomboras. We are speaking to nations. And the speaking does not necessarily mean from the pulpit. The speaking means business speaking. Okay? Professional speaking. Every kind of speaking to nations. Praise the Lord. Now, things which were thought of as impossible. And you said, let me just settle for this. I have my cows there. I have my car, you know, Raum and what? I'll take my children to some KUP school. Now we are speaking to what? And now, oh man, praise the Lord. Now there are some young people here who God has prepared for this time. And you know, you don't even understand why for some reason you're going for every fellowship. Tuesday, you go for this. Then Friday, you come for Watchman. Then even maybe other fellowships on other days. And like people seem to think that you're idle, you have nothing to do. But now God has been preparing you. Because the time of preparation is so important for God, because the time of execution can happen like this. Amen? At the time in which we are living, somebody is in the den today, and the next day Pharaoh has a dream, and the next day is second only to Pharaoh. You understand? Eh? Now, imagine if he had not been prepared for that moment. Glory to God. So the preparation time is so important. Now, but you see, somehow this generation despises preparation. I don't know why. They want everything to happen fast. It is not going to happen now. It is going to happen now, after Monday. But the time, don't despise the time of preparation, because you get into situations. I remember when the Lord was telling me my message of character. When I just started learning it. If you've read that book, good for you. If you haven't. But the thing is, one day I arrived at entering Oasis Mall. And then some guy annoyed me. And then I unleashed some choice words. Like I totally, completely abused him. Then when I finished, I walked away. Then the Lord told me, now imagine you were the powerful man of God you think you want to become. And then you go and do that. Your name would be spoiled. So you almost made me know that. Now, you see why I've kept you here for this long. Because now imagine, do you understand? Eh? You are high there, then you do something as stupid as that. Then you mess yourself up. So God will say, first stay here. Learn how to compose yourself. Learn these lessons. So even if they take 10 years, he will keep you there. Because the execution is so fast. Now, do you know, like, where you look and say, God, thank you that I'm just, you know, a journalist. But I knew I was going to be a man of God. But I knew I wasn't. That moment, I understood I was not ready. Because imagine you're passing there, you're passing the Oasis Mall, and you find me with a security guard abusing him seriously. You look like what? You look like what? Then you say, man, the watchman, what happened? So you see, sometimes it is by the grace of God that you're even kept down until you're what? Somebody say, I'm ready. Now, after May 14th, now is the time for unleashing. The execution is like this. The preparation is longer, okay? It, 1 year, can you imagine Esther? 1 year, they are massaging her, 1 year. Wake up in the morning, then they do your nails, then they do what? And you're just going to go and meet the king for one what? For one night, but 1 year, you're being prepared. Fed very well, what? Doing all those things. And God is preparing you because you have to save your people. And you're going there for a purpose. But you don't just wake up and say, I'm going to the palace. No. And there is no hurry. God says, take your time. The time is going to come. Now, when the time comes, when you go into the king, the guy says, I've called off the search for a queen. I have her right now. And do you know, I don't know what she did to him. Because the Bible says he declared a public holiday for 3 days. It's in the Bible. I'm seeing some of you shaking your heads. If you are holier than the Bible, you tell us. Can you imagine a guy wakes up in the morning and says, public holiday 3 days. All of you go and have. And then he made a party for his what? For his nobles and what? To celebrate. Now that is somebody who was prepared. Now some people, because they are not prepared, they will lose their moment. Imagine now, did Esther think I wasted 1 year preparing? No, something, she went there when she was ready and something happened and she changed the whole kingdom after that. The whole kingdom where the guy gives you his stamp and says everything you say, you don't even ask me for permission. Just write what you want to write. The stamp is there. It is sealed. Now that is somebody who did something. Something very serious. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now the time of preparation, the time of unleashing is what? Is when? Is when?
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, God is going to unleash you. No, say it louder. Tell him, God is going to unleash you. On an unsuspecting world. They don't know what is coming. They don't know what you have in you. Praise the Lord. Now say, God is going to unleash me. Starting when?
Yeah.
Starting when?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I want everybody to stand up and pray with me. Just pray and don't leave. Don't leave. This is important. I want you to just stand up and what we've said about God unleashing you, I want you to pray from a position where you believe it and it is real. It is not something you're just cheering here. That God is going to unleash you in business. In business, praise the Lord. Now, some people actually, now I feel the Lord saying, in marriage, those who are interested in marriage, amen? Now, somebody who wants to be married by the end of this year, amen? This is coming from the Lord. I wasn't thinking of marriage. This is coming from the Lord. So now receive it. So God is going to unleash some wives and husbands, and they land on each other, and they be a stars. And what? Praise the Lord. Say that's my portion if you're a lady. Yeah, some people, glory to God. So that you go on a honeymoon and your husband extends it by the second week and says the honeymoon the third week. Then he calls office and says, can I take my leave now? Praise the Lord. Now that is, by the way, I'm not joking. I'm not just joking. I want you to receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in Jesus' name. Roshika grabazante de vishidobra. Roko marazantalabaku roboshide kilamozitila. Rumo krisi alakalamazito. Roko marazantalabakarasila mo. Roko brazila. Who wants to interpret my tongues? Ria maso torboshila makarazinte. Rico gros. Volunteers, come forward. Sigla mazintalabakalabaku sholo krozintalaba. Ria mozon torboshika gamazantile lo krozite. Ramashilo korbazin telebe shiro borozin. Ria mahala siku borozin telebe korobo shalo borozin ta. No volunteers. Rika mazan telebe harashilo. Pray in tongues, everybody. Ria mazon torbo shika grabazan telebe kuro borozon torbo shila. Rika mazin telebe kila kre borozin torbo shika grazin torbo shila. Ria mahasan telebe harasiko borozon torbo shila maz. Rika mazon torbo shika grazin torbo shika raz. Sarah, come and interpret the tongues. Wait, I haven't started speaking. Ria Mazantala Bakrazin Toroshika Grazin. Have you done this before? Now, here is the key. Don't think about anything. Just empty your mind of anything. Now, when I start speaking, what comes to you is it. Okay? Yeah. This is not English where you know the word book means book. Cup means cup. Okay, this is done from the Spirit. And I'm sure you can do it. Now, when I start speaking, just don't think about anything. Just what comes to you, you say. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What are you thinking about?
Water.
You're thinking about water, Okay. Seke bres zetila makarabasiko, roshiko razanta lakalabaku rosike mashelebo, sindele kila bakur rosika mashandele bekura basande. Rika bazite reshiko mazantele behile, riko rosindala hamukoro shika, siko mrozonto rosika masile koro bazantele beshi. Okay, before you do it, there is a healing anointing. If anybody is sick, this is actually what I was saying. I don't know if that's what you call or what?
A stomach.
A stomach what?
Yes.
Okay, now you're in the spirit. Okay. First be seated, please. First be seated. Somebody who has any issue with the stomach,
It's like, it comes like this, then like...
Speak louder.
The pain keeps, it kept coming from here down. It comes up again like that.
Then there's somebody who has an issue with the spine, a lot of pain in the spine, and you come forward. If you're here, we pray for you. What's your issue? Stomach. Pray for. What's your problem? Spine. Okay. What's wrong with it? Okay, and you're the person. And you? A stomach, Okay, you... Huh? You go and minister. Okay, in the name of Jesus, what's yours? Minister to them. Rika mashika krasenta la bakuro brozontor sikala. Mashala marazenta la shiko brozontor shila. Rika mazontor shika gramazantar mashika razintor. Sikere zintor shila. Sikam razenta. Sikam razentor shila. Barasika bazinta la korobo sheke. Rika marazanta la bakarabashin. One of you, who of you had an accident of the spine people? You had some kind of accident, I think. Do you have any connection to Kansas?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from the United States of America.
Which part? Which part of America?
I'm from the Washington, D.C. area, Maryland, D.C. United States.
Okay. You want to interpret? Yes, you have something to say?
They are completely healed.
They are completely healed? Eh?
Completely. They can come back and win.
Can they demonstrate?
Yeah, let them come back.
Okay. This gentleman here, as they come back, come. This gentleman here is from America. He listens to Watchman. I think Mixlr. You listen on Mixlr?
I listen on the Amazon, the portal, yes. The portal where you have all the, for download. I listen to Mixlr sometimes, but usually there's not enough time to allow.
Okay. So, how long have you been listening to Watchman?
For about a year now.
About a year. Okay. But you have some pain in your feet? What happened?
My knees.
What happened?
They actually hurt very bad.
Why?
It's a recurring issue. I've been delivered and it's came back.
So what can't you do now? What can't you do? Because of your knees. Is there anything you can't do?
I can move around. I'm mobile.
You can't?
He just healed me. I felt it.
Huh?
I just felt him.
Okay, let's pray for him because we want to cover him in the grace of God. He's called Sam. Eh? Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit Sam into your hands. And we thank you, Father, because you use him to do a powerful work. In Jesus' name. And we pray. Father, I complete deliverance. In the name of Jesus, from every pain, from everything that has held him back, every addiction, in the name of Jesus, complete healing in Jesus' name. Now a transformation happens here this day in the name of Jesus, and he knows that his life will not be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. You can go.
Thank you.
Okay, yes? You wanted to show us? What couldn't you do?
I couldn't bend backwards. Right now I can.
No. There's somebody else who got an accident, I think with a boda, if I'm not wrong, who also has some issues with body movement as a result of that. And actually, it's not the first accident. They are, I think there's almost a recurrence. I think there's almost a... You come forward if you're that person. Yeah, and you?
Well, for me, my backache was stemming from a disorder with my intestines.
Why?
It's called celiac disease.
It's called what?
It's called celiac disease.
What disease?
Celiac.
Celiac?
Yes. I have gluten sensitivity, wheat and dairy. I have allergies. So it causes backache.
So you're allergic to wheat and whatever?
Yes, and dairy.
So you can't eat chapati?
No, I can't. So I have so many complications with my digestive system. Even
can we pray for that?
Malabsorption, yes. Yes.
Now we're going to pray, and tonight you go and get chapati.
Thank you.
Or whatever it is you couldn't eat.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. And you come and testify. If you don't try to, Okay. What's your name?
Davis.
Davis. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke those allergies, and I decree in the name of Jesus that your digestive system is normalized in Jesus' name. And whatever has worked against it. Whatever is. How long has this thing been?
Since 2015.
Okay. Okay, now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you said you're called?
Davis.
Because Davis is healed completely in Jesus' name. And even healed from the fear of what to eat and what. I see that even you're small because you're scared of anything you eat.
Yes.
Because of your digestive thing.
It's true.
And now you're delivered from the fear of
thank
food.
Thank you, Father.
Okay?
Thank
now
you,
you'll eat and eat. Thank until you have
Father.
To work out to reduce what you ate.
Thank you, Father.
In the name of Jesus, because I speak healing
thank you,
on
Father.
Every part of your body,
I am
in
healed.
Jesus' name.
I am healed.
Amen. Amen. So you come and tell us. So you cannot even, you couldn't even take sugar, eh? So you, mukaru just, eh? Wow. But life is sweet, eh? Glory to God. Okay, let's, Stella, you come and let's pray for yours. Let's first pray for this. Eh? Sorry. How is everything?
I haven't yet gotten a breakthrough.
Oh.
There's a setback still.
Okay, you come. Now, this lady here is in a place where we are going to put on dominion. I told you to. So, the place of her business, there is some witchcraft guy who is trying to subdue her. Eh? But I actually handled him in the spirit. Eh? You will see what is going to happen
amen.
To him.
Amen.
Like, it annoyed me so much. Eh? I sat up late in the night and completely made sure I sorted it. By the way, you will see what is going to happen to you.
Amen.
Now, you yourself, you have to come out of, like, fear. Eh? Because I'd even asked you to call me and I come to your shop and then thrown you from there myself.
I did.
You did not. if you call and I don't answer, you call again.
Okay. I will.
Eh?
I will next week.
Because your thing really touched me. I said, how can, like, that guy, eh? I almost even unleashed something very dangerous on him. But I decided the mercies of God triumph over judgment. But then we are subduing him. Now pray for her that she dominates. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And for yourself as well in her mm-hmm. place. I will not tell you where her thing is. Oh, do you want to tell them? No, that's not. Okay. In the name of Jesus. She's called Stella. So you pray for her and enthrone her in her place of business. Eh? And all people will come flocking to her in the name of Jesus. Now every setback has been turned into a testimony. Everything that didn't work out begins to work out in the name of Jesus. Now by this grace, I enthrone you, and in the name of Jesus, I decree that you stand on top in Jesus' name. Now even those things which were placed in your shop as some kind of point of contact from the evil person, now I render them powerless over you or your business. They shall, even if you don't locate them, they shall have no power any longer in the name of Jesus. Now that man and that woman who are servants of the devil, now we trample them underfoot here this day in the name of Jesus. And we decree that everything they planned for you comes true for them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And whatever failure, whatever frustration, whatever setbacks they said they planned for you are true for them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Now in a matter of a month, you will see a complete turnaround. And they will come. They will actually fear you.
Amen.
You will see that man coming, and when he's talking to you, he's fearing you. Now, I can tell you this even, that he has been, you'll confirm this at some stage, he has been dreaming about you. And he's in the dream, you're chasing him, eh? And he's in flight. Now, you are going to see this. Somehow, the Lord will present it to you, eh? Either through somebody whom you both know, whom you'll tell, but you'll know that it is true, eh?
Amen.
That somehow he has been, you've been chasing him in his dreams, eh?
Yes.
And he knows that the time of stealing what belongs to you has come to an end.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because wonderful things happen in the lives of these people. I thank you in the name of Jesus because nobody, nobody remains stagnant. I thank you, Father, because everybody steps straight in the stream of what you're doing.
Amen.
Because righteousness is connecting to your purpose. So we connect to the righteousness of doing your will.
Amen.
And your purpose.
Amen.
And I thank you, Heavenly Father, because we unleashed.
Amen.
I thank you for new connections.
Amen.
I thank you for partnerships.
Amen.
Partnerships. People here have ideas.
Amen.
And you connect them to the right people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you, Heavenly Father, for people who have to... Somebody who is a job abroad in the name of Jesus, a job abroad which is by the will of God and you know it. Now receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, even ministries in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because some people, somebody here has a call and they know it, to go and start a ministry. And it's not in this city. Now, in the name of Jesus, actually, that ministry is in Imbade. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because the fear of the unknown does not hold them back. Now, I pray for that person that he will not fear the unknown, but he or she will stand up, stand out, and go. And they will know that your hand is with them. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because of all those who are starting in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Universities, somebody who is a scholarship. Huh? Somebody has applied for a scholarship. Huh? I want to pray for that person who is expecting something to do with scholarship to go and. Who is that person? Stand up. Just stand up. Stand. Okay. In the name of Jesus. I release that scholarship in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Father, because it is done. Come. I thank you, Father, because it is done. You receive it in Jesus' name. Okay. Where is it?
It's Makerere.
Makerere. Mm. There's one which I... Abroad. Is yours abroad?
Yes.
Where?
It's in Australia.
Okay.
Yes.
And yours?
London.
Eh?
London.
Okay. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive it. Where is yours?
In Uganda.
Eh?
Makerere.
Makerere.
Yes.
There's one of design. Is any of you going to do things to do with what? Huh? Touching clothes and making them look good. I'm seeing something like that. Eh? What you're going to do your medical stuff? Eh?
No, it's a proposal on health.
Eh?
It's a proposal.
For what?
For financing.
Eh, okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Because she receives it. In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's somebody else who wants to study design. Eh? Like those nice designs abroad. But
fashion.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Fashion.
Amen.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.